Welcome to Ask the Experts, where each week we talk to people in the industry to get the inside word on what's happening right now and what that means for the tactics you should use to make the most of your money. This week, we've partnered up with Advice First, who've kindly lent us their expert, Willie Moala, and we're talking all about your burning questions about insurance. Making Sense has partnered up with Enable Me to get you the strategies for reaching financial freedom faster. Whether you're wanting to get mortgage-free or grow your wealth through investments, they've got the team to help you. Head to their website to learn more. Visit enable.me today. Before we get into it, Making Sense is stoked to be supported by KiwiBank. We've teamed up to bring you insight directly from their people, the experts who live and breathe this stuff every day. It's not the outdated stuff that worked 5 years ago. It's what's happening right now in the industry to help you make the most of your money. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi. So Willie, thank you so much for coming on, because I threw this one out to the social media audience and said, are you confused about insurance? What would you like to know? What has always confused you when you go and talk to your advisor? And I got back some of the most questions I think I've ever had. And I think what became obvious to me really quickly is that insurance, obviously a massive area, there's so many different types of insurance. So I think we'll start with you, Willie, and say, you know, what's your specialty? What can and can't you talk about with us here today?
Yeah, great to be here, Francis. And I don't think there'd be many people that disagree that insurance, you know, there's just the sound of it is confusing in itself as soon as you hear the word. But the area that we specialize in, or that I specialize in, is insurance for humans is probably the best way to think about it. So that's things like life, income, disability, and medical. And the area of expertise that I don't have is insurance for stuff. So houses, cars, that sort of stuff.
Okay. Excellent. Well, I've got to say, people are probably my most important part of my life. So that's good that we can talk insurance on that. Let's start with this one I got from a lot of people. A lot of people saying insurance has become so much more expensive recently. And I mean, for starters, like, is that true? Are you seeing a lot of these policies coming through? Are they more expensive? What's going on out there?
Well, it's not getting cheaper. I haven't heard anybody say to me that insurance is getting cheaper, so that's probably a start. But I think because it's a begrudged payment, people always perceive that it's an expensive item anyway. It's not something that you see. It's not like a house or a car. You know, you can look out the window or look outside and see it. So I think that in itself means that perceptionally it is a begrudged payment. In terms of the prices increasing, there's a few things, and I'll probably just touch on about three of the things that connect back to the pricing. So for most people in New Zealand, when they take out some form of personal insurance, they'll have a premium that goes up every year as they get older. And so for people that start early in their life taking out insurance, early in their life stages, somewhere between sort of the 20s to maybe early 30s, they'll be paying a premium, and every year they have a birthday, their premium will go up, and it kind of goes up incrementally. It's a bit of a pain, but it's not enough to be pulling your hair out. But what happens is, as you sort of get around to that 40 and sort of trend into that 50 bracket, all of a sudden those incremental changes that you've seen previously, they'll start to feel like they're skyrocketing, and that's where you get a lot of big increases. But age is probably the number one reason why your premiums go up, simply because you're having a birthday. And that's really unavoidable. But so that would fit into sort of, you know, 99% of the population of people who take out life insurance and those sorts of things. So age is a big part of that. And so that's a constant. And so people will say, my premiums are going up all the time. Well, they are. It's because we're having more birthdays. The second part around costs going up is inflation. So every year, the insurer will ask you as a customer, do you want your cover, the amount that you're covered for, to go up with inflation? And they'll have a fixed rate that they use for inflation. So for argument's sake, let's say it's 4%. So the insurer will say, to have your cover increased by an extra 4%, are you happy to pay an additional premium for that? You don't have to accept that. You can say, no, actually, I'm pretty happy. But otherwise, if you do accept the inflation increase, then that's a second, that's almost like a second increase. So for some of us, you know, the increase is twofold. It's because we're getting older and because we're accepting the inflation. The third thing is around insurers trying to be creative. You know, they're trying to create products that are fit for purpose. You know, once upon a time, there was only a thing called life insurance in New Zealand, which was really simple because if you passed away, there was money to be paid, you'd pay to your estate. Whereas now there's, you know, there's a whole raft of products available, and there are things like trauma, income protection, total and permanent disability. But all of those products in themselves have evolved. The great thing about insurers is a competitive market, and all insurers are trying to have these really great, fantastic products. But when you dial it back, inevitably what that means is that they're enhancing all of these products, which is another way to say they're giving you more opportunities to claim. So it's a bit of a catch-22. And so when they broaden the scope of these policies and give you more bells and whistles, inevitably that means that you and I have a higher chance or a better chance that we can claim on things. And that affects the pool. So we all pay our premiums into a big, gigantic pool of funds, and that's where we also get our claim payments from. So you can imagine that when these products are getting enhanced and they're really good and we're utilizing them, well, it's also pulling from that big, giant pool of funds, and so our premiums go up as a result of that. But those would probably be the sort of the three things I think that we'd predominantly point to, you know, why your premiums feel at least like they're increasing.
Yeah, and I think you've teased that apart for us really well there, because I mean, basically when it comes down to, and you obviously can't talk to the home insurance issue as much, but I mean, I know we saw this with things like the Wellington earthquakes or, you know, the floods in Auckland when premiums went up afterwards. If they're thinking that they're going to have to pay out more or there's been big payouts, then they do have to cover those costs. And it's the same thing that you pointed out there with insuring people with your health insurance or your life insurance or whatever. As you get older, you're getting riskier. And so it's more likely that they're going to have to pay out. Therefore, your premium goes up, right? It's that likelihood of payout means you also end up paying more, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a really catch-22 because, you know, for us as consumers and customers, we want really good products. But in return for that, those really great products, someone ends up paying somewhere, and it's us, because that you know, you pay and you get more benefits out of them. So yeah, I mean, the Christchurch, you know, it was a great example of, you know, the pool was starting to get emptied out pretty quickly, and so, you know, those customers in the following years and the following years after started to feel the pinch of those premium increases.
And talk me through a little bit. I mean, this might be a little nitty-gritty, but I find this stuff kind of interesting because I know when it comes to some types of insurance, there is what we call reinsurance, right? Like insurance companies also have reinsurance with a different company. Can you explain this to me? Because I'm going to make a hash of it. Do you have reinsurance at your level? How does it work?
Yep. So reinsurance exists within the personal insurance market. We'll keep it simple. And so reinsurance is effectively the insurers that we work with. So you and I will go and take out a policy with insurer X. And sitting behind insurer X, they'll have their own insurance policy with another insurer. So there's another insurer that sits behind them. And effectively, that insurer's role is to manage some of the risk. And so what I mean by that is, let's say I go and apply for some type of insurance. And in the weekends, I like to jump out of planes and do motorsports and a whole bunch of other, you know, high adrenaline activities. And so the insurer that I'm applying to, they may not be very comfortable with that risk. And they may be comfortable with up to a certain point. But at a certain point, they probably feel like, actually, we're not really keen on taking all this risk. So what they'll do is they'll work with their own insurer, the reinsurer, and say, hey, look, would you be happy to wear some of this risk so that if Fully passes away, we're not lumped with the entire bill. So that's how reinsurance works. It's basically the insurance company for the insurer. Hopefully that's not too confusing.
You did a much better job of that than I was about to. It's interesting, though, because it does mean that not all of the policy costs. I mean, I know we go to the insurance company and sometimes you think, oh, God, that's a lot. Why are they charging me so much? And that reinsurance chain means that actually sometimes if you've got high risk for whatever reason, like you say, if you're going out and doing risky things on the weekend, then it might mean that just that chain influences as well how much you're paying. It's not always up to the insurance company that you are dealing with face to face, which is, I find fascinating. So, okay, it's more important than ever, I think, at this point, to be comparing policies, not having more coverage than you need, but still being covered for the risks that you are exposed to. People are counting every dollar, but you don't also want to be out of pocket if something goes wrong. So where do you start when you're working with customers and you're trying to figure out what insurance they actually need? Do you have like a checklist or anything that you go through with them?
Probably not so much a checklist. I think there's probably one or two core things that we try and do with people when we're talking to them. So the first is for that particular family or that individual, the first thing we try and do is get them to understand themselves, where they are at financially, where they are at in terms of their personal situation. So things like, you know, how much debt have you got? Do you have children? So that's the first port of call. The second thing we then do is we then try and understand, well, where are the areas of risk as it relates to your financial situation and your personal situation? And so we'll start to look at things like income, you know, so let's pull your income out tomorrow and let's say you don't have an income. Where is the impact in your household? The first port of call is to start looking at sort of the lay of the land of the household. That's the first thing we've got to do. And the second thing is to start to identify some of those risks. And then overlaying that is the product side of things. And then we start to look at actual products. But you've got to understand what your risks are. And for most Kiwis, I'm generalizing here, we kind of just put that in the back burner. We sort of don't think about that. We tend not to think about sort of, let's be fair, it's not the sexiest thing to think about, insurance, but, you know, it is important.
And it's scary, right? It means you have to think about the things that could go wrong in your life. And I think none of us really enjoy that.
No, I don't think anybody likes crystal gazing into like having accidents and illnesses. So it's a hard conversation to have. But you can actually rationalize it. So it doesn't have to be something that's all philosophical. There's actually some science behind it. You know, so if I have a mortgage, I don't want to leave my family lumped with that mortgage if I pass away. So we need to find a solution for that. So insurance is just the vehicle to pay for things that we can't pay for ourselves if things went wrong tomorrow. So yeah, having an understanding of where you are at financially is probably the first port of call for anyone wanting to, you know, if you're wanting to do this yourself, then that's the first thing you've got to do. You've got to actually have some sort of awareness on where you're at.
Not so fun fact, when you take on a 30-year mortgage, you'll probably pay more than double what you originally borrowed because of the cost of interest. That's probably not the Kiwi dream you bought into. The team at EnableMe specialize in taking charge of your money and growing your wealth, including how to get rid of your mortgage faster. Book a consultation with an EnableMe financial advisor today by visiting enable.me. Life is full of ups and downs, so no matter what your everyday looks like, KiwiBank has the tools to help you manage your money your way. To find out more, head to kiwibank.co.nz. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi. And I imagine things like kids must impact it as well, right? If you've got dependents, or even some people might be looking after their parents, might be dependent on them while if they're older. But, you know, basically any sort of situation where someone is dependent on you, I imagine that impacts things, because if you lost your income or had a really bad health scare or even died and you leave them with bills or unable to look after themselves, that must have a big impact on things too, right?
Yeah. And again, so it's the insurance is always going to be relative to that person's situation. But kids are totally, that's a really important, and to be fair, It's a motivated factor for many people to why they actually go and start looking at insurance in the first place. If you're someone that's sort of out on your own and you don't have a partner or any children, then really the need for insurance becomes quite narrow. So really, if you're in that situation, all you want to do is make sure that you keep getting an income. You know, there's no need for you to think about life cover or anything that's actually going to pay somebody else. You're more worried about, I need money because I need to be able to pay my bills and live my life. You have children and other dependents. All of a sudden, this insurance actually needs to make sure that I can accommodate those needs as well. So yeah, it's a hundred. And you talk about, you mentioned people who actually have parents that are dependent on them. So I've got a client at the moment that's in that situation. And so we're having to factor in these insurances that, hey, look, if this person becomes unwell, this person actually needs money to continue to support their parent, which is becoming more common than what it was previously. But yeah, dependency is a large part of why people actually even start to have this conversation.
And what about the idea of self-insurance? Are there times when you can self-insure for certain things? And are there any areas where that's a really bad idea to try and do?
Self-insurance. So,
and probably, actually, we should probably explain a little what self-insurance is.
Yeah, it depends on who you are. Some people will say there's no such thing as self-insurance. So I think of it this way. You and I have a conversation, and together we unravel that Francis has a whole bunch of financial risks. And we both agree that there are risks in there. And then you say to me, Willie, I'm actually happy to just basically wear those risks. Right or wrong, I'm happy to do it. And I might have a conflicting idea on that. And I might say, you should use some insurance. There's too much risk. So that in itself is not really self-insuring. That's just you making a decision. You're making an informed decision that you don't want to participate in the insurance, which is fine.
I'm just going out there and saying, YOLO, I'll be fine.
I'm crossing the road tomorrow and I'm not even looking both ways. I'm fine. I might care about that. But then there's another camp, which is you and I have a discussion. We talk about areas of risk for you. But actually, Francis has a whole bunch of, let's say, financial assets. And it's not going to cover you for everything if you couldn't work tomorrow. But there's enough in there that'll buy you some time. You're not left without a paddle, so to speak. And so you make a decision, well, actually, I'm actually going to rely on what I've accumulated, and that's what's going to get me. So that's what I think of when people say self-insurance. Is there a right or wrong time? Well, I think, you know, if you won a lottery tomorrow, that's probably fine. You can self-insure. You probably don't have a lot of risks. But if you have a lot of risks, you know, and you want to self-insure, sure, that's an educated decision that you're making. And people are happy, you know, that's totally fine. People make those decisions, but it's called risk for a reason. And you only have to look at the likes of Give a Little pages and you'll see what the consequences are. And this is not about scaremongering. I'm saying that sometimes it's really hard to escape what is the facts in front of you. I feel like I'm going on a tangent there, but.
No, it's a tangent that makes sense.
I think when is the right time? There is a bit of a life cycle too, by the way, on when you should start getting rid of insurance.
Go on.
So when you're really young and you've got debts, you've got a house, maybe you've got some young children, that arguably is at the point when you actually need a lot of insurance because, you know, money's a bit tight. You know, I get it, insurance is the last thing you want to think of, but it's actually when you have the most exposure. So it's when you're at the most risk. But as you go through your career or your working career, you start to pay off those debts, those children start to get older, and you start to perhaps get into a phase where you're accumulating wealth, that's probably the time when you start when the need for the insurance starts to taper off. And at some point, you'll ring me and say, hey, debt-free, kids are left, Willie, cancel that policy. And I'll say, great, it's done its job.
Love that. That makes a lot of sense. All right, we're running up on time here. There's masses we could talk about. So for those who are listening, do get in touch if you have more questions about this, because we'll bring Willie back. I'm finding this conversation great. But I think one of the things that a lot of people sent me questions about, so I want to prioritize this, because insurance can get complicated, right? Lots of paperwork, can be a lot of big words, a lot of jargon in there. And I think people can feel a bit overwhelmed, and it feels so important to get right. And yet you're stuck with this mound of paperwork that you're a bit like, ooh, what does this all mean? So are there sort of red flags or green flags that people should keep an eye out for?
Yeah, look, I think certainly when I started back in the insurance industry many years ago, there was really only one way to acquire this type of insurance, and that was to go and meet with someone in an office and, you know, you get them to fill out some paperwork, and, you know, the poor customers, they'd have to fill out a form that was the size of like a phone book, and, you know, you'd feel really horrible about that. But that was the process. And so you fast forward into 2025, you can now go online and you can purchase insurance. There are companies out there that'll do comparisons. It probably takes all but 30 seconds for you to get really confused if you don't know what you're looking at. You'll see a whole bunch of graphs, a whole bunch of colors, whole name of different insurers, acronyms, and all the rest of it. And that in itself is quite challenging. So I think, you know, if you're someone that wants to do this yourself, you know, there are people out there that do this themselves all the time. I think if you get overwhelmed just by looking, you know, on those websites and things like that, that's probably a red flag. There's probably a red flag to go, well, actually, I don't even know what I'm looking at. I get it that people sort of want to be able to go and do this themselves and get it done quickly without any hassle. I totally get that. The challenge that we've got is that you may not realize how much you didn't know until it's time to have a claim. Okay. So that is the challenge, because fundamentally, that's all that matters. All that matters is what happens at claim time. And so what we would hate for people to happen to people is that they make a decision, not really that informed. They think they're covered for this. They have a situation and they go, great, well, I'll go back and call on that policy, but the policy doesn't respond. And so that is I think that is the big issue. Because, yeah, insurance is complex. There's nothing, it's, you know, people look at it and their eyes turn square. I totally get that. So I think, you know, there is a role for financial advisors to be able to do all that deciphering for you so that you don't end up in a situation where you have an event, which is really sad, some sort of illness or if you pass away or whatever it is, only to find out that actually that policy doesn't even pay. It pays out for something completely different, which is why there's, you know, that's an important role we play.
Yeah. It's hard, right? Because I think it is one of those things where you do hear horror stories and it freaks people out, fair enough. You know, the little things that could nullify your insurance, make it so that you can't claim, or things that you thought you were covered for, but it wasn't. And I understand why that freaks people out, because that is a nightmare to have been paying for insurance and then find out that you're not covered for what you thought you were. I mean, when you're talking people through policies, are there any sort of tactics you use to try and protect against that? Because there must also be a little bit of an issue of talking to clients and making sure that you're on the same page with them and you're having clear communication of, you know, sometimes in the financial world, we think we're saying one thing, but in plain English, it means something a little different, right? So how do you try and protect against those sorts of issues with your clients and make sure everyone's on the same page, covered, they understand the clauses and like little things that can trip you up when it comes to claim time?
Yeah, just in terms of the little things that can trip you up at claim time. So something that's probably really important for the listeners is when an insurance claim goes a bit pear-shaped, typically there's probably the main reason will be something around non-disclosure. So I think this is really important. So what non-disclosure is that when you and I apply for insurance, we've got to tell the insurer a whole bunch of information around our health, around our family history, and those things actually form the assessment that the insurer then makes a decision on whether or not they're going to insure. So when non-disclosure happens is where somebody actually makes an error in judgment potentially, or they intentionally non-disclose something, i.e. they had a heart attack 2 years ago. And in the application process, the insurer says, have you ever had a heart attack? And they say, no, I haven't. And so the insurer is unaware. They, you know, they give you the policy on the premises that you've told the truth and all the rest of it. Yeah. And then a few years later down the track, you have an event. Maybe it's heart related. Maybe it's not. And the insurer finds out that, hey, actually, you didn't really disclose this really important piece of information. And so, you know, the insurer, then you're in a situation where the insurer is debating the claim. So disclosure is a really big part of where you can get tripped up, I think is what you said.
That's one part of it. I mean, in terms of trying to make sure that the clients are sort of aware around what they're actually taking out. Yeah, look, we just have to communicate really clearly with the clients. I don't think there's any other way around it. So part of our jobs as advisors is to basically just try and educate clients around what is available, just removing all of the noise, because there's a lot of noise when you talk about insurance. And so we just have to basically bring all that noise in and just be use really plain language with customers. So I think the deciphering part of it is through the advisor. Is probably the answer.
Yeah, and I think most of the horror stories I've heard have come down to non-disclosure. And I think the thing with that is you say you haven't had a heart attack and you might get a slightly cheaper premium up front, but the price of that could be not getting a payout at all. So is that a cheaper premium or is that just paying money for nothing at the end of the day? Thank you so much. That's Willie Mawala from Advice First, giving us the inside word on everything you wanted to know about insurance. Now, we honed through as many of your questions as we could there. If you have more, do send them through. We can always get Willie back on to chat this through, explain some more things to us about what's actually happening when you get these policies, how you compare them, all that good stuff. So send them through to me. You can find me everywhere, really, on the internet, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, as Frances Cook NZ. Also, heaps more money content on there for you. Don't forget to subscribe to Making Sense so that you never miss a trick with your money. Until next time, have a great day. Just a note before you go. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.